चारिने निवशेषा शून्यवाणी पस्कजारे रताने श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद अद्वैत गदानन भक्तवृंद हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम हरे राम 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 हरे हरे When I was preparing for this lecture, I remembered a particular event that happened to me just recently, which I wanted to share with you. We had just finished a very nice Kirtan Mela in Nairobi and Kenya. Maybe some of you have heard about it. Those who were there really felt it was a blessed event. Devotees were participating in good numbers throughout the various times in the day. You know, the temple was full from morning to evening, not just at particular slots. And a very elevating Krishna conscious atmosphere pervaded the temple. So I was, then devotees brought me to the airport, and I'm not so good in airports. I never know, is it left or right or straight or what? And I had, of course, forgotten one important document, and the people were a little, you know, they didn't want to let me go. Then I just said, I don't have the document, but I have prasadam with me. wow! And then the officials of the airport, they had of course met devotees coming in and out, and they said, "Do you have these sweets?" And all of a sudden, the discussion turned from boring documents to interesting sweets. I didn't have sweets because I don't eat sweets, but I had an apple and some samosa, and I gave everything away, and they were accepting this as more important than the documents. So I did feel, oh, Krishna saved the situation. Then I met on the airport Abhishek Prabhu, a frequent traveler who knows his way in the international airports of the world. And he said, "Maharaj, right. Maharaj, left. Maharaj, straight." And my life was very easy at this moment. And I remember particularly a scene. We were coming from Nairobi to Dubai, yes, and from there Abhishek Prabhu had to proceed to London, and I proceeded to Delhi. But again, it's such a big airport, and is it left or is it right or is it straight? And Abhishek was able to guide me through the maze very expertly and swiftly. We took all the proper turns, and I felt, wow, what a wonderful life I have. An extraordinary life. And I was thinking, this is because of the mercy of the holy name, whom I'm trying to serve with chanting myself, preaching about chanting, writing about the holy name, etc. And I wanted to share this with you. I have talked with a few of the devotees who are invited to the Radha Desh Mellows. Some of them are kirtan leaders, and we meet them again and again at these events. We have the same orbits, so to say. We are like planets with the same orbits. And we say, hi, Paul, I saw you in Nairobi. And in this way, we lead a life less ordinary. We lead a life because we somehow, we may not be very qualified in many ways, but we have understood, let me serve the holy name. Let me try to become a servant of Krishna in this most accessible or approachable form. And Krishna, he says in the Gita that those who are my servants, I carry what they need. In my case, I needed some hungry officials in the Nairobi airport who appreciated prasadam, and I needed an abhishek to left, right, straight to guide me through the maze. I carry what my devotees need, and I preserve what they have. Life, in other words, becomes extremely simple. It becomes free from anxieties, I should also say. The moment you are carried by Krishna's arrangements or by Krishna's mercy. And he has said, if you approach him with a service attitude, then yes, he carries what you need and he maintains what you have. Please don't think that this is only something which happens to the rich sannyasis who have tickets to who can buy tickets. No, I can't. I'm not extremely rich. Little. I have some for breakfast. I can, but no. It's a, we are invited, and we are carried. As a brahmachari, I also saw this. The moment you become serious in serving Krishna in this most, it's important for me to say, accessible form. You can, anyone can sing the names of the Lord and be together with the Lord. The moment you do this, Hare Krishna, Shri Radha Gopinath ki jai. The moment you do this, the Lord starts to make arrangements in your life, which are very wonderful. So here in this verse, in my mind, is an essential instruction how to approach this project, chanting the holy name. My dear devotees, what I'm going to say now, it will not be a scholarly presentation, it will be a heartfelt presentation. What I want to share with you now is, in my eyes, the reason why some people make it and why others do not make it. See, our process is called the process of bhakti yoga. We connect with the Lord, yoga, through devotional service, bhakti. Yeah? That's our process. Now, in order to execute this, you need to know that bhakti has two forms. Don't worry, it won't be very complicated. Not one form. It has two forms. The one form you are very familiar with. The other in my mind or in my perception is very much overlooked in our movement. Not in Srila Prabhupada's preaching, but in the way it is presented. And I also only became aware of this in during the Govardhan retreat when one of my godbrothers spoke about it. Two forms of bhakti. And only when the two forms work together, the experience of devotion, which is described in the scriptures, is there. It's just like in the heart, in order to work, it has the certain heart chambers need to work together. Or if you want to have a good life, you need two lungs. Or you need to breathe in. And then don't stop there. You need to breathe out also. Two things in your breathing. In bhakti also, two things. One is the Cheshta Rupa Bhakti, and the second is Bhava Rupa Bhakti. What does this mean, Maharaj? Listen carefully. Cheshta Rupa is the activities which you do, like chanting japa, reading the Bhagavatam, visiting holy places, or what you... worshipping the deities, this is Cheshta Rupa Bhakti, which you see our pujari do, is most elegant circles. That's an effort, an external activity, which is performed with the body. No? And then comes the second form of bhakti. It is called Bhava Rupa, the devotion. If we look at our pujari now, I hope he doesn't get feel nervous. He is doing something, but the question is, where is his heart now? Is his heart in connecting with Radha Gopinath? I think it is, but there must be the body of bhakti and the heart of bhakti. A body without the heart is lifeless. Someone can do all the external things, have a good Kanti Mala, extremely impressive seeker, amazing tilak, good dress, and he can do everything, paka, paka, paka. But if his heart is not there with devotion, he lacks the life of his performance. A dead man, yes, a dead man, who will not be satisfied by all his external activities and harbor in his heart desires for material life. Because the heart... it needs pleasure, and that comes only from connecting with Krishna in bhakti, from love, from love or gratitude at least, or prayerful or devotional life. No? If that is not there, the heart is missing. I've given many times this little illustration. This lecture will be different from other lectures, I need to say, for those who are listening to lectures. But I want to also give it here because it makes the point so clear. Remember, before the outbreak of the Battle of Kurukshetra, Yudhishthira requested Krishna to go to Hastinapur to see if there could be some negotiations with the Kauravas to avoid the fratricidal war where one family member would kill another family member. He wanted to do everything, and Duryodhana knew Krishna would come as the Please help me. The word, I think, is called envoy or a messenger, peace messenger. He came his way. So Duryodhana's thought, yeah, Krishna is now on the side of the Pandavas. No, that's not so good for our cause. Let's see if we can somehow pull him over on our side. So he built guest houses on the road from Virata's kingdom, where Krishna started his journey. He built guest houses and places of enjoyment, something which would be equivalent to holiday parks, as we have them in our civilization. And then he made sure in Hastinapur, Krishna would get the palace or stay in the palace of Dushasan, that was the greatest sensualist of all the 100 brothers. And on the evening of Krishna's arrival, he arranged a huge welcoming feast, which had been cooked by the best cooks of Bharata. So Krishna knew, and he didn't stop at one guest house. No. When he arrived in Hastinapur, he didn't go to Dushasan's palace to freshen up. No. Krishna also did not go to the palace where a good meal was waiting. But he went to the house of whom? Vidura. Yes. Vidura was not in station. Vidura, like everyone else, had gone to the palace of Duryodhana, where they thought Krishna would arrive. This was the arrangement. So when Krishna's chariot arrived before the house of Vidura, only Vidura's wife was inside. And she, boom, this chariot, four horses, strong mega Pushpa is there in the beginning, Shaipya is there, all these horses, you know, luckily Krishna's horses look like something, not like lame goats. So the king stopped and he was thinking, I'm only here, my husband is not here. So Krishna knocked and she opened and saw her lord and paid her obeisances. And Krishna said, I'm so hungry. Vidura's wife said, my husband is not here. So Krishna came in and said, I traveled the whole day, very hungry. Vidura's wife said, my lord, we have nothing at home. Everyone knows that you are coming this evening to Duryodhana's palace, not to our humble dwelling. No, I'm not going there this evening. Tomorrow I go. Is there something you can serve me? Vidura's wife said, you know, the meal is there. My husband is there already, waiting for you. We have nothing here. Our storage is empty. I was not prepared. Just look, said Krishna. I'm so hungry. Something. So Vidura's wife went to the kitchen and came back with the news. I have bananas. Good, said Krishna. Oh, good. So she quickly and happily went in the kitchen, prepared the bananas, but made a gross mistake out of nervousness. Mataji nervousness. She threw away the banana peel. No, wrong. She should have thrown away the banana peel and served the fruit, but mistake. She threw the fruit away and came with a platter of banana peel and put it before Krishna. Krishna, of course, saw the mistake, but he didn't mention it because anyways, Krishna is not interested in anything material. He was not interested in the more than 108 preparations in Duryodhana's palace. Or to bring this into our context, he was not interested in the multiple brahmanas who were waiting there to receive him with hymns. He didn't care about these external things. It becomes very clear the next morning. He came for the peace negotiations. Duryodhana said, "Oh Vasudev, where were you? We had the best meal. We all ate it without you because you did not come." Now you may take your seat. I'm giving you my throne. You can sit on my throne and then we talk. Krishna looked at Duryodhana. He looked at the throne and he said, "I will never sit on your throne. Your throne is spiked with needles because you hate the Pandavas." And listen carefully. I'm not interested in your meals. Because in order to eat, someone has to be hungry. But I have a transcendental body, Satchit Ananda. And no hunger is in this body. No hunger. No digestion, no digestive remnants. A person only eats for two reasons. When there is hunger or when there is love. Now, you may know this. You come, you have just eaten something and then you come to the house of your devotee friend and the devotee friend has just prepared a pizza and you are already full beyond your ears, you know. So, but the devotee friend says, "I have prepared your favorite pizza with the items which you like, ananas on top and everything." And as you hear it, you feel a stirring in your stomach. You can't even imagine. But because your friend offers with love, you say, "Oh, very nice, please give me the ananas pizza." And then you appreciate it because he offers with love, no? Then we eat. Either we are hungry or when we are not hungry, when the one who offers with love, yes, we will not reject that under no circumstances. So Krishna said, for to eat one has to be hungry or the person who offers the food has to offer it with love. But you don't love me and you don't love my devotees. Therefore, let's talk about a fair dealing with the Pandavas now. Yes, my dear devotees. More than 108 preparations. The best throne. Best palace. Externally everything was sparkling. But the heart of bhakti, the love, was missing. Now look at your life. You may do sometimes this or that. You may have an impressive this or impressive that. Or even not so impressive, no problem. But my question is, do you have a heart? And my second question is, what is the worth of life? If there is no heart. If there is no devotion, it is a useless life. It's a dry life. It's an uneventful life. It's a miserable life where all you can do to survive the next day is to look at some kami TV serial to get some life. But that also doesn't make you satisfied. My dear devotees, think about this. Vichar kijiye. Think about it. that you need to see where can I get my life. This is what is this. This is the result of chanting. Lord Chaitanya told the sannyasis of Varanasi what Ishvara Puri, his spiritual master, had told him about chanting at the time of his own initiation in the holy name. He said, "It is the nature of the Hare Krishna mantra that anyone who chants it develops loving ecstasy for Krishna. When one develops such love, he naturally cries sometimes, sometimes laughs, sometimes chants, and sometimes runs here and there like a madman." Now, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur describes that. Why is the devotee so much happy as he chants with that emotion, with that love, with that feeling, with that bhakti? Why? Because Krishna is visible to him. He feels Krishna's presence. Do you know this when you chant? And it's a real kirtan where you can absorb yourself somehow through your thick layers of avidya, ignorance. The holy name enters, and all of a sudden, oh, you feel now I have, my heart starts to beat, the bhakti heart starts to beat. Do you know this? How you feel, and you look at the deity and you think, oh Krishna, so wonderful. No, yes. We all have this experience. That's why we go to Radhadish Mellows. We hope to repeat the experience this year in 2000. And where are we? 19 or 18, or where is it? Doesn't matter. It's only 1999. Yes. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur gives a wonderful purport. Can I read this to you? Good. As he chants, he all of a sudden has a vision. He sees Krishna, who has stealthily means no one in a hidden way, entered the house of an old hag of a gopi. She's called Jarati. Oh, that thief Krishna! The son of Yashoda has entered the house to steal the fresh butter. Grab him! Grab him! Keep him away! When Krishna hears these menacing words spoken by the elderly gopi Jarati, Krishna immediately looks around and gets ready to leave the house. The devotee to whom this transcendental pastime is revealed laughs in ecstasy, but suddenly he can no longer see Krishna. He then cries in great lamentation, "Oh, I have achieved the greatest fortune in the world, and now it has suddenly slipped from my hands." Thus the devotee cries out loudly, "Oh my Lord, where are you? Give me your answer." And the Lord answers, "My dear Lord, devotee, my dear devotee." You know, can you see what's going on? An active communication with Krishna is going on. "My dear devotee, I heard your loud complaint, and so I have again come before you." On seeing Lord Krishna again, the devotee begins to sing, "Today my life has become perfect." Thus, overwhelmed with transcendental bliss, he begins to dance like a madman. The point here is bhakti brings Krishna. Bhakti brings the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Bhakti reveals the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Bhakti brings the Supreme Personality of Godhead under control. Bhakti is stronger than the Supreme Personality of Godhead. This from the Matara Shruti. Jiva Goswami quotes this shloka. What I want to say, my dear devotees, is bring your heart to the kirtan. Chant there not as a just external thing. Oh yes, that's what we do, and afterwards we hopefully eat some pizza and then digest. No, my dear devotees, my request to you is go there with something in your heart. Oh Krishna, you can start there. For so long I have completely forgotten you. But today, in January so-and-so, in the year 2019, I'm turning to you as your sincere servant. Please accept me. If you chant like this, my dear devotees, Krishna is attracted. Like he was attracted to the humble meal of banana peels served to him by Vidura's wife, Krishna will be attracted to your chanting, even if by vocal standards your chanting is like that of a frog, not very melodically. No problem. If there is the heart, then Krishna will take that. If that little devotion which you are able to muster or come up at this stage of your practice, at this stage of your life, is there. But if you chant with your back turned away from Krishna and your face turned towards the melodies and the external features of bhakti, the Cheshta Rupa Bhakti, then your life will not have that vitality. Your devotional life will lack that inspiration. And you will always go into the default mode of the mind. I'm not good enough. No one loves me. Oh, my seeker is not as long as the seeker of someone else. Comparing ourselves, being in anxiety about our life, being miserable, and so on. The mind always goes there. Therefore, learn in kirtan to turn to Krishna. Learn to revive your sleeping heart and bring in this way some bhakti, it's called bhava rupa bhakti. It means some feeling to your bhakti. And Prabhupada writes in his purport to the second verse of the ninth chapter of the Gita, God accepts only the love with which things are offered to him. No? He is only interested in that. He wants to hear that in your kirtan, and he will immediately reciprocate. He will not wait. He will not remain silent. He will break his silence, and he will, for every kirtan which you do, he will give you some good realization in Krishna consciousness. My dear devotees, I would love to talk more, but I will end here. I cannot take questions. If you forget everything about the lecture, No problem. Remember one thing, the heart of bhakti needs to be there. No? The heart. That means turn to Krishna with whatever devotion, with whatever devotional sincerity you have, and he will respond. I want to say, let us now be time efficient. This is a good word for being quick. Let us eat, but not too quick. We have to digest. And the doors of the kirtan hall will be opened in 1 hour, that is 9:45. It's good if you are there because of the place situation. Your seat is waiting for you. 9:15. If some of you can't make it, come in drops later when you make it. So let us now be quick. And by the way, dress warmly when you go out in the cold, so because you will need your voices. All the best for you. Have a wonderful Kirtan Mela with the heart of Kirtan being there. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Shishi Radha Gopinath ki jai. Gaur Premanandi Hari Hari Bol.